Hello, welcome to Sonic Serial. Now pay attention.
All right, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we are continuing with Radiohead's OK Computer, which was produced by Radiohead and Nigel Godrich. And it was recorded in Didcot, England and Bath, England. And it was released in May 21st, 1997.
And today we're doing Karma Police,
Fitter Happier,
Electioneering,
and Climbing Up the Walls.
All right, let's get started with Karma Police. What's your one-line overview?
I would have to say this is the second single from OK Computer, and the piano is a star.
It's given me thoughts about revenge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Revenge against who?
Just revenge. Like, it's, you know, like as a concept.
Okay.
Did you know that I really don't care for the word comeuppance?
I didn't say it.
I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying, like, revenge, you know, come up into thing where, like, you get something that you deserve and somebody's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you like that word?
I don't know.
It sounds kind of dirty.
It just makes my skin crawl when I hear someone say it. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
There's a few words. Don't you have a word like that?
I don't think so.
Okay. What's your first impression?
Good song. What's yours?
Overexposed.
Hey. Would you like to know some background?
Yeah, I would.
Well, the title comes from an inside joke between the band. Whenever they would talk about someone who did something bad, they'd say, the Karma Police will come after them.
And it was also influenced by the Beatles' Sexy Sadie.
Sure it was. And in the demo version, Tom recorded the sound of a fridge buzzing to make a comment on how modern rock sounded like a fridge buzzing.
You know, that's interesting because a lot of car critics, they criticize like modern cars for looking like appliances.
Oh.
And they're saying that there used to be style and, you know, like sexiness to cars, and now they just drive around like these boxy appliance looking things that have no emotion associated with them.
What if someone was being ironic and made a car out of appliances?
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Yeah, anyway, I was saying that, like, this, the way that modern rock sounds like an appliance, like, that was ahead of its time, this idea that, like, things are just becoming utilitarian with no soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fridge buzz.
What's your favorite line from the...
I like when he says, Karma Police arrest this girl, her Hitler hairdo is making me feel ill, and we have crashed her party.
Why do you like that?
I feel like it's relatable. It reminds me of, like, the Karen haircut and the ridiculous sense of entitlement that some people have.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
What's your favorite line?
Don't you have another one?
Oh, yeah. Few for a minute, I lost myself. I say this to myself a lot.
Yeah, you do. For me, it's the same line. And I think he's talking about feeling like losing your identity in a society where it's like you're supposed to conform.
Yeah. Nothing. Well, oops. Give you a story about Common Police.
Yeah.
Tom York said that Common Police is dedicated to everyone who works for a big firm. It's a song against bosses.
That's definitely song worthy.
Like sticking it to the man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like half the country songs are like are about that. Like, take this job and shove it.
Sure. I don't know. I don't listen to country.
You know the theme that country's music is always like...
Yeah. Non-corporate?
Complaining against, like, authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the themes.
Tight.
Tell us about the Hitler haircut.
Well, it's believed to be about the lead singer of Elastica, Justine Frischmann. Since Tom mentioned it in a 1994 interview. He was talking shit.
Wait, are you calling it the Hitler haircut, or did they?
That's what I'm saying. He called it that in the interview.
Okay.
So, overall, I think this song is about dull, lifeless, inconsiderate people, and to not fixate on whether justice will prevail or not, and just focus on yourself being a better person, because that's all you can control, really, at the end of the day. Thank you. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I would add that it talks about the theme of, like, society kind of controlling the individual, and just the consequences of, like, authority. It's very 1984.
Orwellian?
Orwellian. I just said 1984.
Well?
It also delves into personal accountability and kind of the inner turmoil that comes with realizing, like, your role in creating that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, if you were wondering about the production of this song, there's the usual rock instruments, drums, bass, electric guitars, acoustic guitars, but the piano, the piano is the one that stands out, and which Johnny actually said it was out of tune, but I can't really hear it. So don't worry about it.
There's also some high-pitched background singing in the outro, which you thought was done by Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Not confirmed?
I don't know. There's rumors. I like how Common Police ends with what sounds like a computer, like, short-circuiting and crashing, which was made by Nigel using an AMS DMX 1580S stereo sampling delay.
Wow.
He did that. Tell me about the music video.
Well, it was directed by Jonathan Glazer, who also did Street Spirit, and I think he won an Oscar. Was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, we talked about that. He won an Oscar for his film called Zone of Interest.
Yes. So in the video, cars going after a man who's running in the middle of the street while Tom sits in the back of the car. And then it has a gas leak and the man pulls out a match and then sets the car on fire. So the pursuer becomes the pursued.
Yeah. You just ruined it.
The pursued becomes the pursuer.
Yeah. So Glazer came up with the idea when he was trying to make a video for Marilyn Manson's Long Hard Road Out of Hell. All right. Manson asked Glazer to watch David Lynch's Lost Highway for inspiration, but Glazer actually fell asleep after the opening titles, so he just remembers the shots of the road going by. I don't blame him. It's kind of a slow movie at first.
Yeah.
Manson didn't like Glazer's ideas, so Glazer used it for Radiohead. And when Manson saw Calmer Police later, he was so upset because it was good. You know?
Yeah.
I tried to tell him. Canceled.
When I first saw these notes and I saw Manson, I was like, Charles Manson knows Jonathan Glazer? And they talked about stuff.
He's making music videos now, don't you know? From prison. Oh, man.
And then I realized who it was. The video shot in Cambridgeshire, England, and took 2 nights to shoot.
Yeah.
The running man is played by Hungarian actor Lajos Kovacs.
Sounds good to me.
Who suffered multiple leg cramps from running and burnt fingers from stretching the matches.
Yeah, what? How did, like, what else?
He needed injections for the cramps.
That's crazy. Well, apparently he was cast because they thought he had a face that you couldn't tell whether he was a bad or good guy. So I guess everyone can have their own guess. And although MTV won an MTV award, Glazer wasn't proud of it.
The video won an MTV award.
Oh, man. Glazer wasn't proud of it, and he felt he didn't achieve what he set out to do, which was more, the look that was achieved in the Rabbit in Your Headlights music video. So I guess he wanted it to feel more like that.
That's Uncle?
Yeah, by Uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, you have to learn to, you have to crawl to walk.
Yeah, for sure.
So, there was also a parody of the Karma Police video with Elmo driving the car while MTV VJ Matt Pinfield is running from it.
You remember that?
I do. I do.
Fun fact, Tom York says that the music video was his favorite to have filmed because he was drunk the whole time. Wow. And then someone said on YouTube that I paused the video in the middle so the man can rest for a while. Okay.
A bit of trivia. So the car in the video is a 19, either between 76 and 78 Chrysler New Yorker Brougham.
Have you ever been in one of those?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
But the one that I was in, it was like an aunt's or something. It had burgundy leather seats, and this one had like velour in the video. But otherwise, it was the same.
That's cool. It's a nice car.
Yeah.
It's too bad they set it on fire.
Which I showed you the other day reminded me of Beyonce's Crazy in Love video.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's in the car, and then
this is weird.
There's gas that's leading to him, and then
she comes out with a fur coat, like, "Hey, why'd you try to set me on fire? I gotta cover up my skin now."
And it's not just sitting on fire. The car like blows up, and
he's like, "God, I'm sick of her. Stop singing."
And she's like, "Why are you playing?"
Oh my god! All right.
Tell us about live performances. When was the first time?
It was first performed in August 1996 in Mansfield, Massachusetts. And then it was performed the following year on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Which you just saw. It was good.
Yeah. And I got to see them perform this twice. Stay jealous.
In 2003, Michael Stipe sang this song with Radiohead at their show in Vancouver.
Oh, you've met Michael Stipe.
I have. Here in San... When I was in San Francisco.
What was that interaction like?
I don't know. He asked me if I wanted to have a smoke.
That's it?
Yeah, so I did.
It's okay. All right.
I don't know. It was just like,
I don't know. I heard things could get pretty wild with him.
Well, not with me.
Oh.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, pleading the fifth.
Tell us about their later performances.
It was last performed in August 2018 in Philadelphia, and in their later performances, Tom sings the outro with the audience while playing the acoustic guitar.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
There's a mashup of it's called the Radiohead Beatles, Hugo Kant, Karma Police, EML, exclamation, TC mashup flips remix. That's the name of it.
Are you okay?
That's the name of it. Anyway, let's take a listen. It's kind of cool. All right, and then there's a Clarity Stay the Night and Karma Police mashup featuring Lewis. Remixes.
There's a remix. Okay, it's called the Karma Police Eigenartig remix.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
There's tons of fucking covers for this song.
Yeah, it's been covered by John Vanderslice, Panic at the Disco, Easy Star All Stars, Vitamin String Quartet, Christopher O'Reilly. Who else?
John Vanderslice sounds like a made-up name.
It probably is.
You're like, oh, my song's been covered so much. Oh, yeah, who? And then you're just like, you know, John Vanderslice.
That sounds like a douchey thing to say. Like, hey, what's up, John Vanderslice? I'm going to say that to John next time I see him.
It was on The Voice, you said? Oh.
No.
It was... Oh, wait. Oh, this shouldn't have been here. There's a TikTok.
Wait.
Oh, go on. Oh, who else? Christopher O'Reilly, Tori Amos, Kelly Clarkson, yet again, and the Candlelight Tribute.
Which we saw.
Oh, we did see the Candlelight Tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice.
So, yeah, I think you were saying it's been on The Voice, hashtag Karma Police, but make it dark pop.
There's a TikTok that has somebody performing it on The Voice, and then the hashtag was, you know, Karma Police, but make it dark pop, because that's, I guess, what she sounded like.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know.
Take a listen.
Okay.
All right.
Save my soul.
Let's talk about samples.
Yeah, this has got a lot of samples here from 2000 to 2022. You know?
Yeah. Super Glue, the Minty Fresh Beats.
Hood, the Internet, Hard and Firm.
Hard and Firm's getting a lot of press from us. Just because they do so fucking much.
Radiohead.
Radiohead.
Yeah.
This is what you get when you mess with us. All right, let's talk about what critics have to say.
Well, in Pitchfork, a critic said, a standout track that showcases Radiohead's ability to blend melancholic melodies with sharp social commentary. And I couldn't agree more. What does Rolling Stone say?
Melancholic Melody would be a good drag name.
Yeah. Put that in the drag name book.
Rolling Stone says, a chilling anthem that captures the anxiety and discontent of the 90s. Seems a little reductive.
Well, what do the fans have to say?
Well, one fan just said, I just discovered that Radiohead Calm was my screaming newborn baby.
That's cool. Whatever works.
Yeah.
And another one, someone else said, was just in jail for a year, and this song would constantly get played on the TV on Music Choice Rock's hits while we were locked in our cells, and I grew to enjoy it very much. It's a really cool set of chord progressions to Right Away to, all the way down to the end.
It sounds like some weird fanfic.
That's okay.
And then another fan said, I heard it in Three Body Problem. Which we were talking about last week. Like, okay, so somebody discovers it for the first, Radiohead for the first time.
Yeah. And after having some time to think about that.
You've changed your mind.
Yeah.
Your tune.
I know that I get mad sometimes when some douchey person or like some ditzy girl says like... Says like,
what about a ditzy guy?
I don't know.
Okay.
Says, have you heard this new band, Cigarose? And I'm like, Cigarose? Yeah. I've been listening to them. And it's just, I don't know, because that's how those type of people get into the concerts and they ruin it. They don't know how to act, so they shouldn't be listening
to this. This is like the third time you've mentioned this on this podcast.
And I'm just saying, and then it made me think that, you know, maybe some like artists should have exclusive concerts, yeah, where you have to...
For people who know how to act.
And then if you can like answer some three questions about the art, so that shows how much of a genuine fan you are. Thank you.
I don't know. That does not seem very democratic.
Well, it's the way it is. It's elitist.
So, to finish this off, last week you said, yeah, it's stupid. People, you discover things from people that are old, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. What if this person is 16 years old that's saying this? They weren't even born when this came out. To your point from last week, people from the 50s, when you were born, you listen to him today and you're like, oh, look at that. Etta James. I didn't know who she was. That's cool.
Okay.
I'm into her now.
I think now what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter when you discover them. It matters who you are that discovered them. And we have to weed out the bad people. We have to weed out the real from the fake.
All right.
You get what I'm saying?
No. Okay, I'm going to let that go.
Separate the real from the fake.
Speaking of, what's your personal experience with this song?
I sang this at karaoke at Oil Can Harry's in Studio City. Studio City. R.A.P. Have you been to Oil Can Harry's?
I never went.
Oh.
I heard. I knew can't people that, I... that went line dancing there.
Yeah. That's weird. But yeah, that's the only Radiohead song I've done karaoke with.
I guess I'm shocked about that, actually.
Put that in my scrapbook.
We got to get you out, because you know, you could do any of them.
I can.
With your eyes closed and... on half an edible.
Yeah.
What are we looking at right now? What's this picture of?
Well, to give you some trivia, this is the single artwork, and it was done by...
Describe it. Who was it done by?
Stanley Donwood.
And what do you have to say about it?
He said, the picture shows a father leading his family to a homemade nuclear fallout shelter.
Oh, well, we could have just read this instead of going to that.
It's because I can't see the fallout shelter. I don't know. But I think we can assume that the 4-minute warning sign has sounded and the missiles are on their way. That's dark.
Sure. Yeah. So why'd you make up the whole thing about the hospital? We already knew right here what was going on.
Because that's what I really see what's going on. Oh,
okay. So this person is probably just like...
Yeah. To give you some more trivia, the song has been in the shows Three Body Problem and Ted Lasso.
And there's a mashup of Karma Police and the Beatles, A Day in the Life by Go Home Productions.
Is there a cocktail?
Yeah, called the Karma Police Martini. It's basically just a classic martini, but with a twist of bitter lemon to represent the song's sharp critique and underlying bitterness.
Give me one.
Oh, by the way, what do these singers have in common? Alicia Keys, Taylor Swift, and JoJo Siwa.
Oh, do they all have songs about karma?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You went through the whole range of emotions really quickly. Like, oh, I don't know. And then...
fuck. I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
That was perfect.
What song are we doing now?
Fitter, happier.
Fitter, happier, more productive, comfortable, not drinking too much, regular exercise at the gym, 3 days a week.
Weird. Well, this is an interlude that sounds like a Macintosh robot having a lifestyle existential crisis. That robot is me. Alright, I'm coming.
So there's a robotic narration kind of modern life's empty promises and, you know, society's expectations of you.
That's
what's going on.
Problematic.
Yeah.
Well, my first impressions of this song was, this is weird, and I like it.
And I was going to say, this is the opening song of the second side of the album.
Yeah.
So, you know, back when you used to... That was a cool thing about albums, because you would finish one side, and then you'd have time to pause and reflect while you took it out.
Oh, you mean records?
Records.
Yeah.
And then you put it down and you started the other side. So it was almost like this purposeful, like act one, act two.
Yeah. Intermission.
Yeah. So with this song
being... Now it just goes on and you never know when it's going to end.
It's not, unless you push a button. Anyway, so since this is the first song of the second side, it's almost like it's opening like the theme of the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Although I don't really see any distinct difference between the two. But...
It's okay.
That's okay. To give you some background, Tom York wrote this song in 10 minutes while the band was playing in the other room. The choice to use the Fred voice came from, Stanley Donwood, who was messing with it to write stories and have conversations with his dad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite line?
I like the last line, a pig in a cage on an antibiotic. I did it! Antibiotics, right? Antibiotics.
Healthier and more productive. A pig in a cage on antibiotics.
Because it makes me feel like society consists of worker bees self-medicating and getting through on their own way.
Okay, I see.
So the line actually comes from a book Tom York was reading at the time on farming, and the animals we are pumped with antibiotics before we buy them to make us resistant to them. the pig in a cage is a metaphor or a trapped person who survives through medication.
You sure about that?
I don't know.
You sound pretty unsure.
Well, and it reminds me of the Smashing Pumpkins song, "Despite All My Rage, I'm Still Just a Rat in a Cage." You know, it's like, we're all just doing the 9-to-5 on the hamster wheel, man.
Yeah. Well, not all of us work for the state.
Oh, this is such a state worker album.
My favorite line is, "A safer car, baby smiling it up in the back seat."
Hell yeah.
And I picked it because, like, the theme of cars and transportation in general, like, is really prevalent in a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
Like, their stupid car, killer cars, and airbag, like, all, you know, automotive related. And I like that.
Because you like cars.
Yeah. But I think the narrator is talking more about, like, starting a family, not because you're in love, but because you're doing it because that's what society expects from you.
Right.
You know, like the perfect heteronormative marriage and 2.4 children.
I love it. Okay. I love that journey for you.
Well, I guess we talked about this a little bit. Let's talk some more about the story and the message.
The song mocks the superficial standards of success and happiness promoted by consumer culture.
It's an example of that.
Like an example from the song?
No, just from life.
Hollywood is a big one, you know? Kardashians. I don't know.
And Hollywood always gets thrown under the bus.
Yeah, and, you know, commercials on TV. I don't know what I'm answering this.
Okay.
As I was saying, it highlights the emotional and spiritual void that often accompanies the relentless pursuit of these standards. It's like when you read your phone at night and then you turn around to me and you're like, tomorrow we're going out in the living room and we're doing 10 days. It's like, okay. And just add it into all our routine stuff. And it's just like, if this is going to help us be the perfect human being, then I'll take it. You know?
I know.
With all the food we eat. I used to eat microwave meals. Now I don't. Like the song says, no more microwave meals, no more saturated fats. Although we're going to snack it up after this and eat really bad. Okay.
Where are we?
We're at home, sweetie. So we're talking about the title.
Oh, I think it also hints at like having an ideal body because, you know, people like will work out so they look good. They don't, it's not so that they're healthy. It's like, I want to look like a, you know, like a strong man.
I wonder what the ratio of people that work out for health and for vanity is.
You know, I do it for health.
I don't believe you.
I do. I've looked like this since I was 20 years old. Like it's just the way that I'm going to be. So it is what it is. So
from day one, you were like, I want to be healthy and I'm going to do this?
No, but when I started working out, I knew that, you know.
I guess.
I was just like, all right, I'm just.
I guess I'm just the only narcissist.
I didn't have a goal. I didn't have an end goal in mind. Like, I want to look like.
That's all right.
You know.
Good for
the
you.
Rock or something.
Well, at some for point. You.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some production highlights.
Lay it on me, baby.
The song uses the Macintosh Fred voice.
I remember that.
Yeah. The piano and the viola in the song are played by Johnny Greenwood.
He's always playing stuff.
He plays everything.
On the albums. The weird sounds that you hear come from Nigel Godrick sampling a guitar from Paranoid Android and playing it through an AMS pedal.
That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I like that.
And there's also a sample from the 1975 film 3 Days of the Condor, starring Robert Redford.
This is the panic officer. Section 917 may have been hit.
Activate following procedures. NY-1-2...
Do you know that film?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you?
No, I never took the time to watch it. It's about politics, right?
We should watch it. It's good, yeah.
I just...
Go think, Kamala.
I think politics are boring, and we'll get to that later.
I love politics.
Politics and cars. What are you going to do? Some considered the production ideas... Oh, some considered production ideas included having the lyrics in different languages in the background, kid voices... Oh, no.
What?
I think I did this for the wrong one.
See, sometimes it happens. You gave me such a hard time last week.
Pretend we're talking about Karma Police. So, I forgot to mention something.
Tell us.
That they were thinking about having the lyrics in different languages in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids' voices. A theremin. And then they were going to call someone named Mr. Tanaka to record a party in Japan. And like some video recording they made of them visiting Disneyland, but it would be slowed down and reversed. I'm not making this up.
Wait, are these things they did? Oh, these are ideas for the video.
Yeah, there's like a notebook like ideas that they released with the anniversary.
Yeah.
Do you believe me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's
I'm
get
just
back.
Saying, like, no idea is a bad idea.
That's the theme of this podcast. And I'm going to go back to Fitter Happier.
Yeah, let's go back to Fitter Happier.
Was there any live performances?
There have never been any live performances, but they used it as their coming on stage song when they toured for this album.
They did that? That's nasty. Why would they do that? Okay. There's also been covers.
I hadn't thought of that, like the coming on stage song. They're not playing it live. It's just like playing.
Yeah,
as you come on stage and then you throw it away.
It's like how the presidents come on stage.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, or
dun,
like dun, dun, how, dun, dun, you know, that guy. Comes on stage and there's music. Just forget it.
Like Jimmy Kimmel?
This is not even important.
Okay. You got us here.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to the gentleman of NUCO. Nuco?
Yeah.
You know that?
No.
They did a live cover of the whole album. I forgot to mention them.
Oh.
It's really
cool. So it's Gentlemen of Nuco?
Yeah, and it's like some jazz instruments, some orchestral instruments, like violins and xylophones and whatnot, and drums. And so also the Vitamin String Quartet. And Samsung Dalanaoga, featuring the Found Sound Orchestra. They did a cover. Do you got that?
Some of these bands' names are so long.
I know.
Sleeping well, no bad dreams, no paranoia. Care for the all animals. Never ever washing spiders down the plug hole. Keep in contact.
And then.
The Creepin' Fitter Happier remix.
Yeah, so they kind of mashed them up.
So did you ever play with those text-to-speech things?
Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah. Yeah, I had lots of fun with them. And then sometimes if you hit the same letter repeatedly, they'll like, you know, enunciate, oh. And so I put that in my music once. You can make like a choir of them.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you have, can we listen to that or no?
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Oh, I can't believe I haven't heard that before.
Well,
you're full of surprises.
That's what this podcast is all about. We got some fan reactions.
Yeah. So there's a TikTok. It's weird that people make TikToks about this song. There's a lot of them. A lot of them are one girl, so like kind of obsessive. But if you're listening, I was kidding.
About I wonder if I was like grew up in later years. If I would be crazy TikTok, I think I would.
I think you would. I think you would.
Would I be like try to be an influencer? I don't know. No.
No. Yeah, I don't know how you'd play a role, but you'd definitely be involved.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be an accidental influencer, like the best kind. You know, like the genuine kind. You're just putting up shit and. It's not like, how many clicks can I get? You're like, I don't give a fuck. I just want to put it out there.
Yeah.
Like now, like with your music now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, is there any critic reactions?
Wait, we missed the second one, TikTok.
Oh, there's another TikTok. Yeah. All right, I'll play it.
Okay.
Wow.
Just look up this song.
This song has
just
made it.
Just put Fitter Happier in TikTok, and you're just going to go down a wonderland of a rabbit hole.
Made quite the impact.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think.
Well, tell me about critic reactions.
Well, New Music Express said, an unsettling track that perfectly captures the alienation of modern life.
Yes, and The Guardian said, a bold experimental piece that underscores Radiohead's fearless approach to tracking heavy themes.
Man, if the fact that these weren't published 30 years ago, I'd say they were AI. They're just so soulless.
Well, that's where AI got it from.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm not playing.
Wow. Get you coming out from under your rock and being all technical.
Well, we got personal ratings?
Yeah.
Or no?
No, let's skip it.
Okay. Then give me some trivia.
The band was going to use the song as the opening track, but felt it was too off-putting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I would have cared. I would have been cool.
Sort of like
I think a lot
taking
of,
the album off and smashed it on the ground.
A lot of albums in the 90s had like these weird interludes, yeah. So it wasn't out of place or anything.
How do you pick your intro song?
How do I pick my intro song?
Yeah, on your albums.
Good question. I don't know. It just feels right. It just either depends the mood. It's like how you choose the track for other songs. It's just like if it's energetic, if you feel that's the vibe that you want to open your album with, or if it's like slow and quiet, and if that's the vibe.
So many vibes.
It's like how you think you're going to say hello when you call someone. Don't you think about that?
Hey.
Or like, hi.
Hi. Hey. Hey
hi.
There.
Hey. Because you don't want it to come out really bad.
It's going to just
you better
set
think.
The tone for the whole conversation.
I know. You better think about it. Is there a cocktail?
I'm surprised I haven't thought about that before.
It's so stupid.
A cocktail for Fitter Happier. What is that?
There's the Fitter Happier Spritz. It's a minimalist white wine spritz with a drop of creme de menthe, representing the artificial freshness and superficiality the song critiques.
Wow.
I can see me getting that at the pool. It feels like a Palm Royale drink.
It does. White wine, soda, and creme de menthe. Interesting. I never thought
it was
of
all about the.
It's the grasshopper.
Yeah, grasshopper.
Okay.
Elite society, which I feel like this song is commenting on.
Critiquing, yeah. All right, let's move on to electioneering. Give us your one line take.
This is a high energy song about politics, and it's my least favorite.
That was beautiful.
What's yours?
I think it's a critique on how, like, politics is so much about manipulation, and like how corporations can influence politics.
Go away.
Anyway, talk about timely. Like, that's what's happening today.
Yeah, we're coming up on an election soon. Yeah. And it's been up and down. It's been quite the roller coaster.
It sure has.
If you know, you know.
But yeah, like corporations. Like, I just heard a bunch of like tech billionaires in Silicon Valley are backing Trump because they don't want him to put a high tax on billionaires. So, talk about corporate influence.
Talk about idiots. I don't know.
What was your first impression of this song?
My sugar-free Mountain Dew. My first impression was that it needs more cowbell.
Okay. Yeah. I say about it. I think that's a universally good idea.
Yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't have been out of place on the bends.
Yeah,
because it's more straightforward and kind of just more of a rock song.
Than
you think?
Mm-hmm.
Got all confused.
They gotta put one in there for the people that are like, "Oh, this is too weird. I don't understand it." I'm like, "Calm down. I'll drop one in for you." What's all right? Oh, give me some background.
Tom was inspired to write electioneering after seeing the poll tax riots in 1990, where people protested and crashed the gates of Downing Street. Is that what we were watching today?
Yeah.
All right.
No, that was Bad Girls Club. You get so confused.
Anyway, it was all under Margaret Thatcher, and I learned from what we were watching that this is what got her kicked out.
Yeah.
And he was also inspired by what?
Reading a lot of Noam Chomsky.
Do you like Noam Chomsky?
I tried to read one of his books and I got through it, but it's just like,
didn't leave a lasting
impression.
I don't want
to do that again. It was torture. I can't do economic, government, text, literature. And now I see it for my job every day. That bit me in the ass. Well.
What's your favorite line?
I like when I go forwards, you go backwards, and somewhere we will meet. Because it feels like when politicians make empty promises, especially with trickle-down economics.
Yeah?
You know I don't know what that is. No, I was reading about it today. It's where you give tax breaks to richer corporations, and they give you the promise that it's just going to eventually...
Yeah. Because that's assuming that they're going to pass that profit on instead of just keeping it and being like, oh, we're going to make a lot more money now.
Right. But, you know, then the under...
Yeah, it doesn't trickle down.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea that a company's making a lot of money, which means it's going to pay its workers more, is trickle-down economics. But the company could say, we're making more money, but we don't need to pay you more. We're not passing... We're not, like, you know...
Let's get political, mama.
All right, I like the line, when I go forwards, you go backwards, and somewhere we will meet. Because I think it talks about, like, the power struggles of politics in this song. And, like, how those struggles and manipulation and all that stuff... It's just a cycle that keeps repeating itself. Like, every election, there's, like, you know, just people hating on each other. The candidates, like, just making promises they can't keep.
AI just needs to hurry up and wipe all this out. Because... And I'm for it.
Really? I thought you had nightmares about AI taking over the world.
No, I think that they are going to take over the world, and I accept it. I had a dream that we went to open mic, and you were like, go on, I was about to, and I was like, wait, I don't have anything prepared. And you're like, all right, we'll just come back tomorrow.
You know I wouldn't say that.
I know.
I'd push you on there and say...
No, eventually you caved. You understood that, how scared
in your dreams.
Like, what am I going to do?
That's what I'm saying. It's in your dreams, because I would never cave. I would make sure that you got up there. You have
to. I don't have anything prepared.
I would say get up there and ad lib.
Oh, man. You're just setting me up for failure.
No, I think that you'd be surprised how good you'd be.
Oh, man.
All right. Where are we?
I don't know. Are we talking about the story and the message?
Yeah, we're talking about the story and the message.
Well, yeah, it's about, you know, it's got political critique. So, electioneering attacks the superficial and deceitful nature of political campaigns.
And it's about corporate greed, so it kind of addresses the influence of corporate interests in politics. And how bad that is for society.
Yeah. But Radiohead also likened the song to how they feel like politicians when they're like meeting people and shaking hands whenever they go on tour and promote their work.
So, you know. Oh. Because they're just out there like... I'm sure it's a weird relationship. Like, you have, you don't know any of these people, but they really love you, and you're going to meet them.
You got all these people, like, being like, we love you, blah, 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 and rallying around you, and
you're like, they don't even know me, man.
And they're just, like, trying to be diplomatic and be, like, polite and stuff, and, like, you know?
I get it. And politicians, that's what they're doing. It's like,
polite come from
they politics. Know that this one person that they meet isn't going to impact the way that they create politics and vote on politics, policy and politics. But they're still like, oh, yeah, I have to shake your hand because you represent, you know, the little people.
Yeah. And some of the lyrics come from things Tony Blair said at the time he was the PM of UK, Prime Minister of UK.
Like what?
Like, I trust I can rely on your vote. I don't know.
There's also references to corrupt policies, such as voodoo economics, which was Reagan.
Yeah, and the Reaganomics. IMF.
Yeah.
And the IMF. Do you know about the IMF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us.
Oh, man.
International Monetary Fund? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's where they try to give... loans or something to third world countries.
Yeah.
And what it's doing though is putting people in debt to the.
Yes.
And so it's kind of making their situation worse.
Yeah. It's a predatory lending.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of, the people like that. While we have our charcuterie and wine.
Speaking of charcuterie and wine, what are some production highlights?
You know, the usual electric guitars, drums, blah, blah, blah. But the star in this one is the cowbell.
The cowbell. Let's take a listen.
Go ahead.
For the anniversary edition, they released a book with some production notes and some ideas for this song, which included...
to get DJ Shadow to scratch over it.
Cool.
Screaming cats, a harpsichord, and a saxophone. And I think all these things would have saved the song. I might like it better.
All of them together?
Yeah, it sounds fun. I can hear it now. It's a riot.
I think you need to take on that challenge.
Yeah, okay.
The strong guitar riffs and aggressive drumming mirror the song's theme of political agitation, you know? It's like a audio representation of that
Yeah.
turmoil.
I mean, every election is stressful, right?
Yeah.
So
there's always a lot to lose and a lot to gain. It just just who's on either side of that equation.
Yeah. Well, there's no music video, so we're going to talk about live performances. Tell me about it.
Well, they performed this song from 1996 to 1998 for only 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was one tour?
Yeah, I guess just for this album, and after that they're just like, eh.
And it was first performed at the Troubadour in West Hollywood in March 1998. Did we ever go there together?
No, I've never been to the Troubadour, actually.
Oh, it's a nice space. Yeah, well, they were touring for the Bends.
Is it still around?
Yeah. It got a remodel. But they took it to, like, its original glory.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was last performed in March 1998 in Dallas, Texas.
Shout out. What about any remixes?
No.
No. I couldn't find any either, man.
Yeah.
That's how I always am suspicious. What? You know, like Cardi B suspicious when I can't find a remix for a song. I'm like, what? It doesn't have enough love that somebody remixed it.
Well,
that's how I see it.
I'm about to remix it with DJ Shadow Scratches.
And Cats.
And Cats. Harpsichords.
It was sampled in one song.
We Don't Go Raven Home for More Than a Minute by Cutie Tooth from 2013.
Oof. That's yeah, that's something.
And then, I heard it. It sounds like trash. So, I don't know.
And then there's the Vitamin String Quartet, which you like.
Right? Yeah, I like that one.
And the Easy All-Stars featuring Morgan Heritage. Yeah. And
whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cold War Kids.
Cone Stole Kids.
Cold War Kids.
Oh. That is Cold Stone, like Cold Stone Creamery.
No.
Cold Stone Steve Austin. Okay. Cold War Kids.
Yes.
That's definitely more gloomy than yes. Cold Stone Steve Austin.
Yes. Is there any fan reactions?
One fan said, I think actually electioneering is fun, but kind of dorky. Like the kind of thing your dad would get excited about and say, finally some real music.
Dad rock. Yeah. Another fan said it represents their first real attempt at angular, riffy pop, post-pop punk music, and I don't think they execute it quite as well as, say, Body Snatchers, but it does sound anything like the cleanly produced chord progression first rockers from Pablo Honey or The Bends. I think...
What is happening? It's a lot of interesting words, but I don't understand how they fit together.
I think had it come up in the sessions for In Rainbows, they'd have tightened it up somewhat. Sounds like someone I work with.
It's like, okay. I know there's something interesting.
Thank you,
in
Lisa
there,
Simpson. Sit down.
All right.
Is there any critic reactions to this song?
Yeah, so Spin said, a blistering track that channels punk energy to deliver a scathing political message. Yeah, I think that's fair.
For sure. Just like Q Magazine said, Radiohead are at their most raw and direct, with a powerful critique wrapped in infectious rock.
Thank you.
Is there any trivia about this song?
The song was going to be released as a single, but the band felt that it didn't translate as well as when they perform it live, so they decided not to. And what do you think?
I think they should have iron lunged it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, yeah. Iron lung, they used a live version, yes. Not a recorded in the studio version.
I just read that about something else. Oh, some Whitney Houston song.
Whitney Houston.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, The Bodyguard. You know that song?
She sang that live?
Yeah, they called her into the studio and they were going to do a take. Like, they were going to do a bunch of takes.
Oh.
And she basically just put her thing on and sang it. And she's like, I got to go, honey. And she just walked out. She's like, I got somewhere I got to be.
What?
So they just used her live version.
What? Okay. Is there a cocktail for electioneering?
Yeah, it's called the Campaign Trail. Tell us what's in it.
It's a classic old-fashioned with Vernet Branca reflecting the song's depth and underlying bitterness.
Wait, so an old-fashioned. What's an old-fashioned?
Old-fashioned. It's whiskey.
You want to hear some trivia? Yeah?
Do I want to hear some trivia?
Yeah.
About the old-fashioned? Sure, why not?
Okay.
I got nowhere to be tonight.
So the old-fashioned cocktail's name comes from the traditionalists in the mid-1800s who preferred a simpler version of the drink over more complicated cocktails that were becoming more popular at the time. So they would order an old-fashioned whiskey cocktail to ensure that they got like just a regular old, like a regular drink without chartreuse or absinthe or curacao or anything else.
I always get old-fashioned and Manhattans mixed up. Is that normal? Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Now we can talk about climbing up the walls.
Anyway, an old-fashioned is...
What?
It's bourbon, simple syrup, bitters, ice, and some garnish.
Cool.
What?
Nothing.
Okay, where were we?
We're going to talk about climbing up the walls now. Okay.
What's your one-line overview?
I think it's a haunting tune that gives serial killer vibes, but it sounds good. I like it.
And I think it's a stone-cold exploration of inner demons and mental anguish.
You're all about that stone cold tonight.
Man, if I had some ice cream right now.
Well, my first impression of the song was I like that bass. Give us some background. You and Nicki
Minaj. Tom said that this song was inspired by an article about serial killers that he read in the New York Times.
Yeah. He also drew inspiration from a monster a patient claimed was climbing the walls while Tom was an orderly at the mental hospital.
Huh.
Scary stuff. Yeah. It was also hailing when the band recorded it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a Hollywood scene.
Tell you what. What are your favorite lines of this song?
Mine are, either way you turn, I'll be there. Open up your skull, I'll be there. And to me, this is like this, like, always present fear and anxiety that you just can't turn off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, my favorite line is, I am the pick in the ice. Do not cry out or hit the alarm. You know we're friends till we die. It's quite menacing, like something you'd see in a horror movie that sticks with you.
What's the last horror movie that stuck with you like that?
I don't know.
I don't want to know your end theme.
What?
I'm not asking about your inseam.
My inseam? Okay, Grandma.
You have to get shy.
We just saw Maxine. That was a good movie.
What parts stuck with you?
The ending. Okay. Was kind of, I'm a gullible for those horror endings. I never see it coming. But I was just saying, like, those lyrics might sound like something you would see in a horror movie where like, it's written in blood or whatever.
Yes, or lipstick on a mirror.
No. Was Drag Race?
No, what's the one we saw with... the one where the guy... and lives in the house across from the house that he looks through. And he sees a woman being murdered. What movie was that?
Disturbed. A Rear Window? I don't know.
No, the one where the guy rents a house to his friend. Or he lets his friend stay at his house. And then he looks across the street and he sees Angie Dickinson, I think, getting murdered.
Angie Dickinson?
Oh, no, maybe not. Not Angie Dickinson, that's way before. The movie where the guy, like, rents the house, or gives the house to the guy, and he sees the woman get murdered across the street. And then he's always, like, in a mask, and he throws her in a ditch.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
The woman, she's in her house and you can see her through the blinds, and the guy's stabbing her and you can see it from the window.
Oh,
and
he's being set up. Body double.
Body double. Yes.
Okay. Glad we got through that. What's your, you want to ask me about the story of this song?
Yeah.
So it's like the Disney movie Inside Out, where everything gets out of hand when anxiety shows up. I haven't seen it, but I know what the movie's about.
Oh, the element? No.
It's Inside one of the, Out. There are the feelings. Emotions.
Oh, yeah, the emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
And it also reminds me of the psychological Denis Villeneuve film Enemy for some reason. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah. It feel like this song?
I could. Yeah, now that you mention it.
It's just a lot of paranoia, anxiety, whatever. Insanity.
Yeah, so basically the story's about mental health, and it kind of talks about like the darkness of mental illness and kind of being trapped by your own mind.
Yeah.
And then also like fear and paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if I was trapped in your mind, what would it be like?
Oh.
Would it be heaven or hell? Like,
I feel like it would be like you on roller skates, but down a really steep hill.
What? That's all you think about?
No, but that's what it would feel like. You asked what it would feel like to be in my mind.
Oh, jeez. That's awful.
No, it's good. I like it.
Well, I can give you some production highlights.
What would I see in your mind?
Oh. It depends. It's like the tide, you know, and the weather. It just changes on a dime, and it's like crazy. But sometimes, right now, you just see nice flowers. You know? Okay.
I pictured like a futon.
Yeah.
That's just in a room. And then I can like, if I'm in there, that's just the big empty room of the futon. I'm like, oh, I can sit on this. I can spread it and lay it down on it. And
just lounge.
And lounge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can lounge in any way that I feel like.
Yeah. That's what my mind is all about. Lounging. Can I tell you about production highlights?
I would love to hear.
Climbing Up the Walls consists of ambient sounds, drums, synth bass, and strings. Johnny Greenwood wrote the strings for 16 string players and was inspired by a classical composer, Krzysztof Penderecki, and his piece, Trinity to the Victims of Hiroshima.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. Everyone has.
No. Oh.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And the strings were recorded at the Abbey Road Studios in London, England.
Iconic.
Queen.
Climbing Up the Walls is one of the first tracks that the band describes as scary, and I agree. It relies heavily on strings, but not in a conventional way. And, you know the rest.
Yeah. And it was composed by Johnny Greenwood alone?
Well, just the strings.
Oh, okay.
I already said that.
I just wanted to make sure we got all the facts straight.
Okay.
Tom York screams a lot on the song and sometimes sings into an acoustic guitar. Didn't you say that already?
No. Oh. I don't think so.
Oh, and the other song he played, he recorded a guitar and then used it as a sample.
Maybe.
In Karma Police. We just talked about it.
I don't know. Well, the band was done on a Novation bass synthesizer.
The band? Oh, the bass.
The bass. Did okay. I say the band? I'm sorry. The bass.
No, the bass was... Do you know what a Novation bass
synthesizer is? It's just another synthesizer. I don't know what to tell you.
Speaking of just another synthesizer, a Korg Prophecy is also used at the 3-minute mark.
Hey, that's cool. Also, the ambient sounds were made by Johnny turning... Oh, he was tuning a transistor radio.
I'm surprised you don't have more, like, eclectic equipment that...
You make me get rid of them.
What if I made you get rid of?
I don't know.
You just like to put that in your head so you don't realize.
We have that tape player, though, that has a radio on it, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
You have the mini harp and the jingle jangle.
I'm trying
jangle.
To use them all little by little. Don't worry.
Okay. Did this song have a music video?
No. Nada.
Nada. And tell us about the time that it was first performed live.
Climbing Up the Walls was first performed live in August 1996, and it was last performed in July 2018. And I saw them perform this in 2016 in San Francisco. And it's funny because every time they perform this, Johnny finds a local talk radio station to mess with. And in this particular performance, it was a sports talk show. It was talking about Brett Favre. It was like, what? What was happening?
Did they know who he was?
I don't know. I doubt it. I don't think they follow American football.
No, did the... I'm saying did the football person know who Tom York was? Wait, is it just prank calls or is it prank calls like, I'm Tom York from radio?
do you have any idea what I just said?
Yeah, you said that they were...
Just relax. I'll tell you. They have a radio... And they find a radio station, like usually talk radio, because they want to manipulate the voices. And in the thing, in the talk radio, they found it was a sports talk show, and they were talking about Brett Favre. So you can just hear, like,
I see.
When you're at the concert, like,
yeah.
Brett Favre, and it's like, meow, meow,
meow. Got it.
It's going all weird. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
And you know, I look at my cousin and I'm like, Brett Favre, what? And we were like, what? What's happening? I played the video today for you and you're like, what's happening?
Yes. Like that? Like Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. There's some covers for this song. Let's play one. This is the Portland Cello Project.
Hey, mijo.
Oh.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. This is like 20 violins. Anyway, we can probably cut this out and put an actual sample.
Yeah, I like it already. I've never seen it. Thank you for showing me that. Well, the song has been covered by The Twilight Sad, The Easy Star All-Stars, The Vitamin String Quartet, Mother Falcon, and Chris Cornell.
From Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
What about remixes?
This song has been remixed. It has a Fila Brasilia. Brasilila. I've heard it.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But my favorite is the 07 remix. I like it.
Cool. I like it too.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like Air.
Yeah.
I think 07 has been compared to Air a lot.
I like the feel of Brasilia, but that's just because of my Latin roots, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Not my Latin roots, I guess.
not I'm my just speaking for myself.
Oh, okay. I like Brazilian music, but, you know. Tom also made a 4-track version of this song while he was working on the album.
Is that, can people hear that, or is it one of those things that's in their vault?
Hey, I'll play it for you right now.
Okay. And then there's a version that is in the major key by DJ Vibe Killer.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Made it sound like a Smashing Pumpkins song.
I don't know. Is that a good thing?
I like them.
Okay. I got my answer.
All right. What do you want to talk about now?
Samples. So it contains the samples of two different songs. The first one is Half by Brian Eno.
I'm listening.
And the other one?
Are these samples from the song from the album or the remix?
You tell me.
I'll tell you. You messed up again. Don't do that. You understand?
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on to fan reactions. Tell me what a fan said about this song.
It's a great song. Reminds me a lot of Nine Inch Nails, though I wouldn't really call it their best.
I respect that.
How about you? Do you have any critic reactions?
Well, Mojo, a critic from the Mojo, said, a deeply unsettling track that masterfully conveys a sense of dread and emotional turmoil.
And Uncut said, Radiohead at their most haunting and introspective, creating a chilling soundscape that lingers long after the song ends. There's a lot of haunting references.
Yeah.
Meaning when people describe their songs, surprisingly a lot of people use haunting.
I use haunting a lot. I find a lot of music haunting.
So it made me think that this album would make a good movie.
I'm watching Skinamarink right now. I put it on just for this song.
Do you like the movie?
Skinamarink?
Yeah.
I never really watched it, actually.
I've never... I just know of it, and I've seen...
I watched reactions, and that's... I think that's all I need.
Okay. For some movies, that's all you need.
Yeah, this just seems, like, kind of slow in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But imagine if this album was a horror movie. Like, with the robot and... like just all the themes of all the songs. If you could turn that into a script, that'd be really cool.
We haven't seen Civil War yet, but I feel like that would kind of be like this album. Okay. I don't know.
We gotta see that.
Westworld, Black Mirror.
I don't know. Some trivia about the song.
Speaking of TV shows, it's been Yellow Jackets.
Oh yeah.
Titans and Peaky Blinders. Shout out.
Yeah.
You got a cocktail?
Yeah, it's called the Walk Climbing, the Climbing Up the Walls Negroni.
Mm.
And it's basically this kind of dark, intense version of the Negroni that has a bitter edge. And it's picked because it mirrors the song's haunting again and complex nature.
Well, I'll promise not to say haunting next time.
No, I'm just saying it's interesting that it's used so often to describe their music.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's neither here nor there. It just is.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the Climbing Up the Walls Negroni, it uses, instead of standard vodka, it uses something called...
black vodka?
Black vodka, yeah.
I want it. It seems very vampiric.
Yeah, so...
it's fun.
Yeah, it's basically black. I want to try it.
Let's do it. Life goals.
All right. What's next? Chiblet.
We got No Surprises, Lucky, and The Tours. And you know what?
What?
That's the rest of the album.
No one was hurt.
Bye.
Oh.